welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success and live a better life.
I'm David Cross, and normally I work with Ben so that Ben can interview people, but rather than Ben interview himself, I decided today that I would interview Ben.
Pleasure, David. Pleasure to be here. Glad to be a guest on my very own show.
That's great. Very good. I wanted to get your take on the current state of the markets because, you know, as traders always say that they love volatility because it provides so many opportunities, but for your average person that's just learning to trade or has been in investing for a while, it's a very scary time. The first thing I'd like to really talk to you about is the VIX, the VIX. Now, the VIX is a ticker for the Chicago Options Index, basically. And the way I like to look at the VIX is that it's a measure of the traders would say volatility, but I would say it was a measure of emotional uncertainty. Could you speak a little bit about the VIX and how you use it within your trading and what it actually means for you as a trader?
I like the way you describe that with the VIX. It really indicates volatility, but I call it the fear index. I think I'm certainly not the first one to call it that. I'm sure I picked it up from somewhere along the way. But, you know, as fear comes in, or as you put it, you know, emotional instability, then that certainly impacts the market. It usually works inverse to the market. So as the VIX rises, the market falls. But it also got to think about VIX in terms of channels, right, and levels. So recently, up until recently, before this whole coronavirus thing, we were down. The VIX was under 15, and as a result, you know, when I trade the SPY, the S&P 500 ETF, you know, we'd have moves of, if we were lucky, maybe a dollar or two a day, right? And we would try to find moves in there. But now that the VIX is up above 30, and I think, you know, just touched off 40. It did, just touched off 41 a second ago. The more fear that's there, the more these markets are just going to swing back and forth. And so that's, you know, how I see, you know, the VIX impacting trading is that once you're above 25 in the VIX, I mean, I typically 17 is about average. Once you're above into the 20s, that says, okay, there's some fear. Once you're into the 30s, that's saying there's extreme fear. And then I would say in the 40s is about panic. And I think just last week it touched off of about 50 when we hit our lows there down around 285 in the SPY. So that's how I see the VIX, and how I use it is really to trade against, right? So it's another indicator I'll have on my screen. And if I'm trying for calls or puts, I want to see the VIX heading in the opposite direction of where I'm going. And I just see, I use it as an indicator to confirm my my decision there on that option contract.
Yeah. The highest the VIX has ever been, I looked it up the other day, was 89, and that was in October of 2008. And we know what happened then.
Oh yeah, that's some serious panic. I mean, when Lehman Brothers and other, you know, investment firms are getting out, that's serious panic.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you mentioned the coronavirus there, and of course, you know, you can't turn on the news or read the newspaper or listen to the radio nowadays without hearing the coronavirus mentioned. And, you know, it's still very early days in terms of anything substantive. So the majority of the talk is about the things we don't know, and that creates uncertainty, which moves the VIX index around.
Well, I got to say, the coronavirus, as much as my heart goes out to the many people who've been impacted by it, the communities, the jobs, the businesses, I mean, you know, on a larger humanity scale, my heart breaks. On a personal level, as a trader, I have loved it because this volatility for me in my day trades has been phenomenal. I mean, again, in my day trading service, daily deposits, you know, I shoot for a pretty conservative 10%. And if I can get upwards of 30, fantastic. But I've had trades in the past couple of weeks since the coronavirus brought this volatility in the market of over 200%. Just today, I made 50%. You know, and just on Tuesday, a couple of days ago, I mean, 100%. And so I love that volatility and that the coronavirus has brought it there. Now, can I say it's very clear which way the market is going to go? Well, At this point, we're just looking for it to test different support and resistance levels. And we really use the VIX to be able to identify kind of where those are in terms of, is it going to bounce off this or find support off that? And so it's been great for my day trading service. I've been very actually grateful for that volatility because it allows me to have the opportunity to make even more profit when volatility is high. And the coronavirus has certainly brought that to your point. As you said, we just don't know much yet, right? We're even struggling to actually test well for it. And I think it's that uncertainty that has just really brought a lot of people to their knees and the market to their knees in terms of trying to figure out what's going to be next. I will also say, I believe in the long term because of its impact on production in China and you know, these other things that we're seeing the coronavirus do, like cancel conferences and flights and such, it will impact earnings, which will impact the market, which will impact, you know, the direction of the market itself.
Yeah, sure. Let's switch a minute there to talking about your other service, IPO Payday. So I was looking this morning and reading about how the coronavirus is having a knock-on effect on some of the upcoming IPOs. So I was reading on Bloomberg this morning that Airbnb's IPO in 2020 is likely to be derailed by the spread of the coronavirus. Do you think that's actually going to happen, that the Airbnb IPO is going to be delayed? And do you see any other IPOs that were planned, anticipated, and seemed like a good bet that are going to be derailed in this way?
100%. I think you're absolutely right. There is a statistical correlation between the number of IPOs that actually debut and the volatility of the market. And here's why. Because IPOs are inherently, they're inherently risky, right? They're inherently speculation is what they are, right? You can have information about them. That's why you have the prospectus of what they are and what you believe they can do is far more of a speculative investment than someone, you know, like GE, an established business for, you know, decades that's, you know, going to be around. They're going to go up and they're going to go down, but they're going to be around while, you know, you do see IPOs come out and ultimately not make it, right? I mean, you look at a business like Blue Apron, came out a couple years ago and people like it, they use it, but it hasn't proven it can make money. And now, you know, it's so low, it could even be acquired by someone else. And so, yes, to answer your question, the volatility is impacting IPOs that debut, but it also impacts the IPOs that are already in the market in terms of, you know, their volatility. Again, we like volatility in IPOs. You know, they're inherently volatile. These can make them even more volatile. And, you know, especially if you can find coronavirus related IPOs, you know, you can really do well. I think Zoom Communications is an example of that. You know, they recently went from, you know, 90 to 130. And had you played options on those like we do in IPO Payday, you know, could have done quite well.
Sure, because if you think of the knock-on effect of a workforce that is not able to travel, then that puts the workforce in one place. And so what communication tools would you need? I was reading something on RollingStone.com this morning about the fact that the coronavirus, you know, has hammered the stock market, but it could actually be good for the Warner Music Group IPO. Music and songs being one of those very few assets that have very little correlation to the wider stock market and how that may move. Would you agree with that opinion of Rolling Stone? And are there any other IPOs that you feel could actually be immune from the effect of the coronavirus?
I 100% agree. I think that anything that people would benefit from to use at home, to use by themselves, that's not group-related, public-related, will benefit. And, you know, I would also say there's certain sectors at times like this you really, you know, believe will be benefited by a biotech scare. I mean, really, this is a biological scare that creates the uncertainty. And so what's the answer to that scare? Well, more biotechnology, right? And so when you think about this, the sector actually that's been hot this year for IPO debuts is the biotech sector. And so, you know, as we face a problem like this in the coronavirus that we can't necessarily fix or solve in the short term, a lot of people do look, you know, to companies that are like biotech IPOs to perhaps solve it in the long term, and that does bode well for those biotech IPOs that are debuting. We've had several of them come out thus far this year, and many of them have done well in that biotech sector because this is a, you know, the nature of the uncertainty here with coronavirus is biotech related.
People are looking for certainty. I mean, people are panicked, but as people start to become less immediately reactive, less sort of chicken little, the sky is falling down, people are going to naturally start looking to, okay, well, what is something that I can draw certainty from? Where are there good investments? Where are there good trades? What are you seeing now in terms of, say, the next month or two? Where are you looking for companies? Are there any specific companies or tickers that you're particularly interested in at the moment?
I think what you can look for in certainty is that you got to look and ask yourself, what do people need and what do they want? And when you can make trades in companies that are going to continue to directly benefit from coronavirus concern, like Netflix, for example, right? Like, you know, these streaming services that make money, people are going to need to be entertained. And if they're going to stay home to be entertained, then those are great companies that will benefit from that in the long run, right? They're not being impacted by the manufacturing breakdown in China. They're not being impacted. And actually, there's more demand for their service being created. So those are companies like that I'm looking to trade. Companies I'm looking to invest in for the long haul is, there's been some companies I have my eyes on, companies I like and I use and I want to own, that take hits because of this. And I've just been looking and waiting for this pullback to jump in and hold for, you know, the longer term. And so some of these companies I like are Nike, for example. I'm an athlete. I love Nike's products, but boy, it got really pricey. And I know people will always need, you know, sporting equipment and sporting goods. And, you know, while there's a concern about Corona, maybe there won't be people gathering to play sports as much. And that's why I think the stock could take a hit. But once it comes back down to, you know, a level that, you know, you want to buy low, eventually, once all this you know, passes over us, people are going to go back to playing sports and doing the fun things that they like to do for entertainment. So those are two, like, entertainment related, you know, stocks I would play either to trade or to invest in. But of course, you know, there's several different sectors when you think about things people need that you could play both for trading or for investing.
Good. Well, I appreciate your time today, Ben. Thank you. It's always great to catch up with you. And, you know, the one thing people are looking for is some certainty here. And certainly when you look around the traders at Raging Bull, yourself included, there's a lot of money being made on these trades at the moment. And, you know, the sun always shines somewhere. There's always an opportunity if you know where to look. And I'm grateful for you sharing all this really great information with me today. So thank you.
It is my pleasure to be with you, David. Thank you for the interview. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast to discover more episodes and to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also, remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.